Welcome. My name is Drew Brown III, and welcome to the Wingman Show, where we hope to inspire, entertain, and the one thing we want to do is all learn to be better people. With me is my main man, my wingman, Dr. Paul Thompson. What's up, Paul?
Good morning, Mr. Drew. How are you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, you've just been introduced to Drew Brown, Dark Gable, the American Dream, the man, the myth, the legend, the pilot's pilot, the role model's role model, and his royal fullness. I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You know what I need to tell them? We floating like butterflies and we stinging like bees. Fly, jet pilots, fly. I think we're going to start like that. Today's first subject. I don't even know if I should say this joke, but I'm going to, and it's terribly politically incorrect. What's the acronym BUFFET stand for?
I don't know. What is it stand for?
Big, ugly, fat folks eating together.
That's mean.
Whenever I said that when I was speaking, it got one of the biggest laughs of all time. Mm-hmm. I kind of stopped saying it because there were some people out there that it was not funny. They were obese. And Paul, there's a major problem in our country, obesity. You can quit heroin and still live. You cannot quit food and still live. You don't have to eat fast foods. Everybody wants to blame somebody else. It's the government regulations. Just look on the box and read ingredients. If it has words that you cannot pronounce, I wouldn't put that in your body. Common sense, critical thinking. But we have an obesity problem here. And I don't mind talking about it because I was a fat person myself. I was 6'5", I got up to 6'5", 260. And I was disgusted. And it was very hard to get rid of, but I did it. And I did it because diabetes helped that, okay? Mm-hmm. And I realized that when you have diabetes, critical thinking, they will cut your foot off. I realized that when you have diabetes, you don't take care of it, you will go blind. You will lose the function of your kidneys, your liver. Okay, I wasn't doing that. And I actually had to go on insulin, and I did not want to take needles. Oh, big Mr. Big Shot, don't want to take needles. You know what my endocrinologist told me?
No.
Drew, the idea of life is to play golf at 100. How you get there, not that important. It just made sense. I always took care of my diabetes. And I even had to stop flying because of my diabetes. But that, be honest with you, is because I ate bad. Right. But and if I didn't eat like I ate, I wouldn't have diabetes. I truly believe that. And now, just to finish the story real quick, I have now controlled it, and we'll talk about that, but I have now controlled my diabetes with diet. You know, I don't eat bad food, so I don't need Tums. You ever see the Tums commercial?
Yes.
Well, if you didn't eat that garbage, maybe you wouldn't need Tums.
Right.
Dr. Thompson, my main man, tell me about obesity.
Well, first I had a question. You talked about you had to stop flying because of your diabetes, but didn't you come back to flying?
Yes, I did. Back? After 12 years.
Yeah, how did that?
Paul, because I changed my diet. I didn't want to use insulin anymore. There was something wrong with it. Keeping my numbers down because of insulin just didn't seem right. And my son, God bless him, the surgeon, Dr. Drew Jacques Brown IV, actually guided me through my diets. And he had me one time eating nothing but raw. I would fly to Germany with food in my bag.
I saw you in the hotel in Paris that time. You had greens and leafy vegetables.
Yeah, and that's because I go overboard in everything I do. So this time, I did learn something. Don't do 100% of anything. So I don't eat any carbs. I don't eat any sugar. My son, once again, taught me that. You know, this is a quick comment. I have great kids, and I've raised them to take care of me. And now whatever they tell me to do, I do. What are you kidding? I don't need to worry about it. So anyway, he changed my diet, so I came back to flying. After 12 years of not being in the cockpit, the one bad thing I did, all those guys in the sim that were my instructors and I went through, new guys who said, man, I've been out 6 months. I just lost everything. They were like, you have no excuse anymore. Right. I just taught a guy who's been out 12 years. Shut up, get in the sim, and let's start flying.
Right, right, right.
So there's the answer to your question.
Well, that's good. Well, that's pretty impressive because you had to pass those FAA physicals, which are not the easiest, and your blood work, that stuff's got to be right. Otherwise, you don't work. You don't get a certificate. You don't get a medical certificate.
Can I say this? It's not right. perfect. And no joke, perfect to the letter. I had to go see a psychologist, a psychiatrist to get back. I had to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. I started telling him about my dad. You know what he? You know what he did? He turned around and started Googling him because he thought I was crazy. I told him I was a black Jew. I told him I was a Navy jet pilot. My father trained Muhammad Ali. He said, just hold on 1 second. And he turned around and started getting on his computer because he thought I'm crazy. But this is an amazing story.
Right. Well, in that case, he thought you were crazy. You thought you were both right. You're both right.
You're both right.
No,
obesity.
But, yeah, obesity. It's a sad thing. You see a lot of it, a lot more now. I think in the last 20, 30 years, and the saddest part, I see it with young children who, you know, don't get out, don't move. And there's a whole culture now. Everybody plays games and stuff, but folks don't move that well. So you got society kind of breaking into two camps. You got like super athletes in all the sports, like the Roman gladiators. They're at the peak. They've got special diet. They got special trainer. They know how to get strong. Look at all the basketball players, how big and muscular they are now. They weren't like that 30, 40 years ago. Look at Hank Aaron. He's not gigantic like Mark McGuire or
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. They wouldn't take steroids, just having greens and leafy vegetables and stuff like that.
They take care of themselves because that's what makes them money. They realize the only thing they really have is their body, that temple. And right. If their temple goes down, they go down. Boxers, I remember this, they didn't have sex for 6 weeks before a fight because somebody said that you lose a little bit of power and energy. And I guarantee you there's a bunch of boxers who got knocked out, laying on the canvas going, damn, I shouldn't have had sex last week.
Yeah, they sound like even the Rocky movie, Mick says women weaken legs or something like that.
Correct. I think this is what we heard. Myth or not. And in boxing, myth or not, if you get punched in the face, a lot of stuff starts becoming real.
Yeah. It hurts. But so you got the two gaps of people. You got the people who are like elite athletes who exercise all the time, and folks who just watch them. The rest of us just watch them. And the problem is that, you know, people are dying. Look at the life expectancy of mid-America people. It's gone down. Everybody's sitting around. They've got diseases of despair. You got obesity. You got drugs. You got this. You got that and the other. So you've got, you know, a small group of people who are hyped up, and the majority are really falling apart. And you can see that if you ever leave the country, you look at the physiques of different people in different places outside the U.S., and it's startling.
Startling.
I haven't been to Canada in a while, but you just go to the Bahamas, let alone overseas, and you see such a difference of people because they walk all the time. They do stuff. But there's another thing, too, that a lot of people are very, very depressed. And this is pre-COVID. You know, COVID, like, you know, puts it off the chain. But people are just sitting around. They're very, very, very depressed. And with what's happened to them in their lives and even in past lives and with their parents, it all comes together.
And it's called comfort food.
Yeah, comfort. Because, you know, you know, the life is tough, but, you know, you can go through a gallon of rocky road to feel good. You know, the ice cream doesn't judge you. It tastes good. You know, I have to fight that myself.
It talks to you, actually. Just a little bit more. You had to have the box. Why don't you eat the rest?
Yeah.
I've had them talk to me.
It's easy to fall into. And money, too, to eat healthy. Well, the reality is that you got to have some money to eat healthy. It's more expensive.
Why are raw almonds as expensive or more expensive? Because healthy people will pay for it.
That's right. It's what the market will bear. And they'll bear more money, and you'll pay for it. So if you go to, you know, the neighborhood I grew up in, and, you know, there's a number, everything was grocery stores. Now all that stuff is gone. All those places are gone. And what you have in the average neighborhood is these little junk food bodegas or whatever, and ho-hos and this kind of cream and that kind of cream. And I grew up eating all that stuff. I ate tons.
So did I. I mean,
in Spanish Harlem,
they had those Puerto Rican paellas and, man, deep fried. Oh, they were the bomb. Grease, bad.
Oh, yeah, the best grease and onions. But the thing is, you can do that to a point. And then after you get to that point, you may fall off a cliff. And that cliff may be at the age of 9, maybe 19, maybe 49.
Correct.
Fall off that cliff, you slip, you know, you're in shark-infested waters, and you're in trouble. And now with all the additives they have, with pretty labels, you know, you can really fall into that a lot earlier. So you got these kids now who are, you know, they're 8, 9 years old, and they weigh 200 pounds.
The name of our show is Wingman. You should have somebody who looks after you. So I want to know something. They have a terrible show that I wouldn't want to watch called 700 Pounds or something on television, of people who are over 700 pounds. Obviously, they had no wingman, because at 320, somebody should have stopped you. So a kid being 200 pounds, remember, he's a kid. He doesn't buy anything. Where is the parent that says, no more, what happened? No more ice cream, no more apple pie? They start shoving it to him because it controls them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then the sugar starts up, and then they get crazy and they get more food. But I'm saying you need a wingman. Mm-hmm. My son was my wingman in my diet. And that's why I'm healthy today, because of my wingman. And one more thing, why I'm really healthy. I have a new granddaughter, and I'm so motivated to stay alive. And it's an incredible feeling. You know, I'm 66, Paul. I got 34 more summers to go.
There you go.
Okay? 34. And I'm going to make sure all of them are happy. Back to obesity. It's hard to eat right, but it is definitely doable. And if you do it, the results are incredible. All the medicine that you've been taking. Remember, doctors don't really tell you how to eat well because they weren't taught that. They were taught that glucophage and insulin brings down diabetes. Okay, so they could tell you to go eat right. And what happens when you don't? And you come back with in a diabetic coma. And then they go to the board and they said, well, did you give them medicine? No, but I told them to eat right. Okay, that's not how they work. They want to cure whatever's wrong with you. And they can only cure it by the means that they know, that they learned.
Right, right.
That's why Western and Eastern medicine is so different.
It is very different. One of the things that's affecting a lot of people today that's kind of ties in is this inflammation. You eat all this kind of crap, you've got a lot of inflammation in the body, and that damages your arteries, your organs, and your joints. And there's some stuff that everybody can do to help a little bit, and you got to incorporate several things in your diet. Onions, garlic, parsley, turmeric. And I'll go again. Onions, garlic, parsley, turmeric. You can get onions anywhere. You can get garlic anywhere. You can get parsley anywhere. You can get turmeric usually at any kind of Asian market.
If you can find beer, you can find turmeric.
Yeah, you can find the powder. I like the natural stuff.
No, you didn't hear what I said. I said, if you can find beer on a Sunday, you can find turmeric.
Yes. Get the powder. Incorporate in your diet. There are antioxidants. They got vitamins. They got minerals. A lot of them fight cancer. We had a family member yesterday that diagnosed with cancer just yesterday afternoon. Don't know what her eating habits are. They've got minerals, onions, garlic, parsley, turmeric. They cost nothing. It's the cheapest stuff in the world.
The turmeric is not going to work with 3/4 pounders in cheese. It doesn't go together. Yeah. You can't get 3/4 pounds in cheese and a Diet Coke. It doesn't work together. Okay. This is the truth. You know, I've been eating healthy for a while now. My wife is starting to eat healthy. We really are. We're looking for longevity. And I feel better. Everything's good. But I would go to one of these buffets. I love buffets now because I can pick and choose my vegetables. I can pick and choose my salad. You know, I can pick and choose not to eat the bad food. So some buffets are really healthy. Anyway, I see this very large girl. And when you go to buffets, that joke that I said in the beginning, you see why it's so funny. Anyway, this very large girl, she was walking around the salad bar. She had a big plate of salad. She had that much cheese on, that much ranch dressing, that much bacon. She had, it was worse than eating a pork chop. Mm. In her head, every day she tells her friends, I eat salad. Right. Okay, I don't know what's going on. All I'm eating is salad now. So if you don't know, you don't know. So I'm going to just try to give this one bit of advice that I've learned through my diet. Because in this show, I don't want to just tell people not to be fat. I'm going to tell you how to get better. The reason that you're hungry is not because you don't have any food in your body. Because there are very fat people who get very, very hungry. How could that be? The reason you get hungry only is because your blood sugar drops. And when your blood sugar drops, naturally, your body wants energy. And as soon, and if it drops too low, a carrot doesn't look good to your body. Your body's about survival. So that's why that candy bar does it. In your brain, carrot, no, Baby Ruth, yes. Because it raises your blood sugar. Okay? This is really serious. Because if you can control that going up and down and up and down, you won't have that problem. You shouldn't get that hungry. What I've done, I'm not saying this is easy, but it's so good. And it is easy after you do it. I don't eat any more sugar. Let's just start there. Mm-hmm. Sugar is the new crack. Processed sugar is probably the worst thing that you can put in your body. So I've eliminated sugar. I'm 95% off carbohydrates, bread. I don't eat biscuits. At one point in my life, there's no way I could pass up a country biscuit.
That's hard.
Butter. That's just hard. Can't do it. I couldn't do it physically. I couldn't do it. And you know why? Because I was addicted physically to that sugar. Because carbs turn into sugar.
Right.
Okay. The one thing that I didn't want to give up, I asked Shorty. I said, please, don't take away my pancakes. My mother made me pancakes every Saturday morning. And it's a ritual my whole life. Pancakes, peanut butter, and syrup. And I've been eating sugar-free syrup for 20 years now. And it tastes exactly like regular sugar. Mm-hmm. That's one thing, sugar-free actually tastes like regular syrup. Anyway, they have paleo pancakes, not made with grain. It's made with coconut. It's made with almond flour. It tastes exactly the same. And I tell Katrina this all the time. Taste shouldn't be that important anymore. You've tasted all the good stuff.
Right.
And look where it got us. Okay, so don't make taste number one. Right. Like greens. I'll end it with this because critical thinking, wingman thinking. When I eat salad, you know what base I want?
No.
Kale. It is the number one food in the world. It's not the tastiest. It doesn't taste bad, but it's not like romaine. It's not like iceberg. Iceberg lettuce. If you only ate iceberg lettuce, you would starve to death. Do you know that?
Yes.
It has zero nutrients. Matter of fact, if you ate it, you would lose weight because it takes more calories to eat it than you're ingesting. There's my spiel.
Well, you're right. You know, good salad with not a lot of crap on it is the best thing. I'm the carbs. I'm working those down. I realize that I need to reduce those. I do like croissants every once in a while. I stop buying them. One may sneak into the house somehow.
I'm a Lay's potato chip. You bring one in, I'm eating the bag. I just don't know how to stop it. It's designed chemically like that.
Yes.
There's a big difference between you and I in this category. You have always taken care of yourself. You have always done physical activity. And people who had a lifestyle like you can cheat a little bit more than me. And you also really don't have an addictive personality. You need to know who you are, first of all. So I know who I am. I'm good. I don't miss sugar. I don't want any sugar. I'm not kidding. I have no desire for sugar. So it's not like I walk around, man, I wish I had a cheesecake. I don't do that. But you have always taken care of yourself. What can you tell somebody out there how to motivate them to turn your life around today? Right now.
You can do body weight exercises. I haven't been in the gym in a year plus. And I got to quit my garage. You don't need that much. You need creativity and a little space. One thing you can do, if you can't stop eating crap right away, cut down. You can start cutting down. Okay, and say eat your garbage, but eat like 3/4 as much garbage. Then get it down to a half, and then get it down to a quarter. If you can't, you got a gigantic plate of food. Eat 3/4 of the gigantic plate of food. It's still what? Reduce slowly. You can do it that way. That's realistic. Cut it down. Okay, eat the same crap. Eat the same garbage, but just eat less of it. Just get it down less and less and less. And you can do it that way. Then these changes Mr. Drew's talking about are not that drastic, not drastic at all.
As far as cutting down, the less you eat. Your body doesn't need that much. And the reason I got fat so fast in my life is because I eat fast. And I was telling you about blood sugar. It takes a while for the food to digest and raise your blood sugar. The point is, if you eat slow, you get full way before that food is gone.
That's true.
My commanding officer in VA-35, perfectly fit. I mean, this one of them guys that his hair never goes out of place, no matter if he takes his helmet off or not. His hair is always good. He ate the slowest of anybody I've ever seen. And he ate as much food as he wanted. The point was, he never finished. That's how slow he ate. Just how he was learned. It looked like I never had food in my life. Actually, my grandmother, my bubba used to shove food at me.
Right.
I'm not like I can't leave anything on my plate. I'm raised by immigrants.
Right.
Same both here. On the black side and the Jewish side, right. That leaving food on your plate is a no-no in right. either culture.
Some people don't have it. They don't have enough. Right.
So my grandmother, I used to have to eat food for China, for Africa, for Israel. There was a lot of countries that kids didn't have food that I had to eat for.
Right, right.
That
right.
was a bad habit.
Yeah.
I feel very bad throwing away food, good food.
Right. Yeah, same here. And the thing is, when you get fed like that, the problem is you're not digesting it. And that's going to lead to obesity too. Your body's not going to be able to process it, so it's going to get stored. So you see someone with the big fat gut, that's undigested food that's putrefying in your gut. And that's where most of the diseases are, between the navel and the bottom of the body. That's where most
of it is. You ever heard of probiotics? Because I'm starting to do that. Little Drew turned me on to probiotics. I drink kefir every morning. I drink kefir every morning. Your body, inside your gut, what you just said, has bacteria. Good bacteria. And if you feed good bacteria, it eats bad bacteria. And so kefir is better than Tums. Mm-hmm. I don't get stomach aches at all.
Same here.
Last point that I have to put in so I don't forget it. If you can start off drinking a gallon of water a day. Yes. Now, just listen, most of your hunger sometimes is because you're thirsty and you're dehydrated. If you could really drink a gallon a day, I think your life would change. And I think once you start and you start seeing, what you got to do is you got to hold on till you start seeing the change. It doesn't happen tomorrow. You know, drugs get you high in 10 seconds. Real change takes time.
Give yourself 6 to 8 weeks, realistically.
There you go.
Okay, 6 to 8 weeks.
Maybe one day on the show, we'll let you start showing them some exercise.
Okay. We can do that.
This is the part of the show where we do our 11 facts in life. Today's number 6. And number 6 says, good will overcome evil. Honest to God, Paul, if good doesn't overcome evil, it's not worth waking up tomorrow. I, deep in my soul, know that good will always overcome evil. Because of my belief in a higher power, who I call God, who we nicknamed Shorty, I believe that everything is perfect, even when you don't think it is. I always think that God is looking out for me. This is not a religious statement. You know, I've said something that really trips people out, and I'll say it here. I don't believe in God anymore because I now know. I don't believe in gravity because I know. I don't believe in oxygen because I know. I don't believe in God because I now know. And I'm saying it real fast so somebody can't take this tape and edit it right there. You don't believe in God. I know that there's a God. So anyway, when you put your life in his hands, even when things are messed up, the Capitol, Trump, whatever you think is wrong, you know, I used to say George Bush was our greatest president because he brought us Barack Obama. I take negatives and I make them positives. And it's true. You know, when you were a little boy, if I told you there was going to be a black president, maybe not.
Right.
You would have thought there'd be a woman president before a black president. So George Bush should be part of Black History Month.
Okay.
Well. Oh, let me just say something about Black History Month. You need to get rid of it. Black History Month is wrong. Black history is American history. And white kids need to know everything we learn. That's the problem. You have two sets of history. You have two sets of facts. So you can't ever get together to resolve things. Black history is the greatest American story ever. And all children need to know that. These were people who were taken from another land and slaves, beaten, killed, and rose to the presidency. There is no black history. There's history. And our history is the bomb. a lot more interesting than some of the history I learned. And we're going to do Lincoln on one of these shows. We're really going to tell the people about Lincoln. There's a great series on CNN right now about Lincoln. Lincoln was a white supremacist. He did not free the slaves because he liked black people. He freed them because he wanted to win the war, and he didn't think people should own other people. But he did believe that white people were better than black. And I just learned that. Katrina told me that. And it changes my whole view. Good will overcome evil. Dr. Thompson.
That's the hope. Good does overcome evil most times. I was in a car accident some years ago. It was a hit and run. I was the one being hit. And I was going to the park with my dog. And a lady was trying to get away from the police. And
what?
I was in the way. Essentially. Okay, so we got T-boned. I got T-boned. Boom, you know. And she sped off. I tried to give chase. My car is dead. It's gone. She was caught about a half mile away because they sent the police from the other direction, and I watched it. And she almost did a hit and run with him, head-on collision. And he swerved, and then he turned around and he pulled her over. I didn't see her for like almost 3 years before he went to court. But the thing was, you know, my car was there. I was in the intersection on an early morning and couldn't get out the driver's door. My door was messed up. So I was able to come out the other side. The dog was okay. He was in the back. And all these people came up. They stopped their cars to come see how I was doing. You know, there's like about six or seven cars. Yeah, we saw what happened, blah, blah, blah. And I was okay. I was ready to go running. And everybody remarked, there's a dog in the back, you know. They'd see the dog. He just spot was sitting there. Oh, there's a dog in the back. You know, okay, you're fine. You're okay. You're okay. I'm fine. There's a dog in the back. It's like six. Then the police were, you're okay. I'm fine. Okay. Oh, there's a dog in the back. It's a nice looking dog.
You could tell everybody, who's important.
Yeah, right. Everybody's like that. It's true. But the thing was that everybody, you know, they came to assist me, and they were very, very nice. I didn't know them from anything. And it was very, very nice. And, you know, right, called my wife, and she picked me up, and the car was towed away. And we were fine. There were no injuries to either me or the lady did hit and run. But I've heard of people who were killed in those situations. So it was some, you know, guy was looking out for us, and Lexus built a pretty good car. It was an old LS 400. But, you know, when I couldn't get out the driver's side, it made you think a little bit differently. Oh, you kind of trapped here. Well, the other side was fine. If you were upside down or something like that, you would have a more complicated situation. But the point being that there are people out there that you don't know. Some are bad and some are very good. And that good will come in times when you don't expect it. And
that's
right. My little good, no evil there. Well, the evil lady hit me, but the good was the people who came to assistance.
That's an incredible story, Paul. And it's very timely. Tiger Woods was just in a really bad accident. I mean, really bad. People were saying, will he play golf? They were asking, will he live? Will he ever walk again?
Right.
And there was nobody else involved in the accident. There was no drugs so far, alcohol, any of that. Things can happen and can happen to anybody.
Right. Yeah, if you're a billionaire or not.
That's correct. You said that before. So good will overcome evil. Yeah. You down with that, Paul?
Yeah, I am. And I sign up, take care of your health. Even Steve Jobs was a multi-billionaire, but he had problems with his liver. You know?
Okay, you know, this is the last part of the show. It's the wingman part, where we tell stories about wingmen in our lives and other people's lives. I think I'll do this one. It's a real quick one. I was going to do my gunnery sergeant, but I'll save that for another time because this show is kind of long right now. You know, LeBron James had a wingman when all this racial strife went down. He went to President Barack Obama. And you're talking about a wingman. Oprah Winfrey had a wingman when she was rising to be a star. And that was Maya Angelou. Most people, that's why they say women are the better half. You know, a good wife is your wingman. I have a great wingman. Somebody looking out for you. And I was just thinking how lucky and how, I shouldn't say lucky, how blessed was LeBron James for being able to call President Barack Obama, and he had other ball players on the line saying, hey, what should we do? Now that's a wingman, and that's advice. So there's my wingman story. All right?
That's good.
Everybody, thank you so much for watching The Wingman Show, because we're floating like butterflies and stinging like bees. Ah! Fly, young jet pilots, fly. We'll see you later. Thank you for your time. It is our most precious commodity. Okay. Paul?
Goodbye.
Bye, you guys.